Guam, Bartier launches the Challenger 350. The Navy's X-47B continues to make history, and the Honda Jet approaches final phase flight testing. This is Aero News for Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Bombardier Aerospace announced on Monday that it has expanded its Challenger family of business jets with the addition of the new Challenger 350 aircraft. The Challenger 350 jet was launched with NetJets as the worldwide launch partner at a special event at the European Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition in Geneva, Switzerland. Deliveries of the aircraft are expected to begin in 2014. NetJets chairman and CEO Jordan B. Hansel says, quote, "This distinct super midsize aircraft will deliver an experience that meets both our customers' travel and comfort requirements. The in-flight experience is exceptional and unlike any other. The aircraft has an exceptionally quiet cabin, allowing both serenity and conversation, soft, handcrafted leathers, meticulously designed wood finishes, and an in-flight entertainment system offering choices for every taste, as well as a single-service beverage maker, all designed specifically for NetJets," end quote. On June 11, 2012, NetJets placed a firm order for 100 Challenger 350 and Challenger 605 business jets with options for an additional 175 aircraft. The order is valued at approximately $7.3 billion if all options are exercised. The Navy's X-47B Unmanned Combat Air System Demonstrator, or UCAS-D, began touch-and-go landing operations aboard the aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush on May 17th. Earlier in the week, the UCAS-D team had worked to successfully complete the first-ever launch of an unmanned aircraft from an aircraft carrier. The various launch and landing operations of the X-47B from the flight deck of the George H.W. Bush signify historic events for naval aviation. These demonstrations display the Navy's readiness to move forward with unmanned carrier aviation operations. The UCAS-D program plans to conduct shore-based arrested landings of the X-47B at Naval Air Station Patuxent River in the coming months before final carrier-based arrestments later in 2013. ANN salutes Mass Communication Specialist Third Class Brandon Vincent of the USS George H.W. Bush Public Affairs for his work on this story. The fifth FAA-conforming Honda jet, equipped with a production interior matching the final customer aircraft, successfully completed its first flight on May 16th at the company's world headquarters in Greensboro, North Carolina. The light jet lifted off at 1500 Eastern Daylight Time from the Piedmont Triad International Airport. During the 60-minute flight, the aircraft reportedly performed very smoothly, with an initial climb to 12,000 feet, reaching a top speed of 300 knots true airspeed. Howard Judd, the pilot in command, and Stefan Johansson, the co-pilot, completed several checks during the flight, including low and high-speed handling characteristics, avionics, and system functionality, including the stall protection system. This aircraft will be used for function and reliability testing to simulate in-service flight operations of the aircraft. With this achievement, the Honda Jet program approaches the final phase of flight testing as the company advances toward FAA certification of their light jet. Well, even though Buzz Aldrin doesn't like it, NASA's first mission to sample an asteroid is moving forward into development and testing in preparation for its launch in 2016. The Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer, or the OSIRIS-REx, just who comes up with these names anyway, passed a confirmation review on Wednesday called Key Decision Point. NASA officials reviewed a series of detailed project assessments and authorized the spacecraft's continuation into the development phase. OSIRIS-REx will rendezvous with the asteroid Bennu in 2018 and return a sample of it to the Earth in 2023. We've had stories of baggage theft before, but then there's this story. A shipment of gold worth $625,000 being transported from Guayaquil, Ecuador to Miami International Airport aboard an American Airlines flight on Tuesday vanished after the plane was unloaded at the South Florida airport. The gold had been taken off the plane by five ground crew members and placed on a luggage tram, according to a report from television station WSVN and relayed by Fox News. The cart was found a few hours later in front of the gate at the terminal where the plane had been unloaded, but the gold shipment was missing. Reuters reports that authorities did not identify the owner of the gold or what was intended as its final destination. American Airlines and airport security officials said only that the FBI is investigating the theft. When Aero News returns, the Flying Lead Ranch was more than just a name. We've heard it all before, not in my backyard, and bummed about the blues.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. A 41-year-old Texas man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to shooting at an airplane, a federal offense. The incident occurred February 22, 2008, according to a report from the Wichita Falls Times-Record News and relayed by the online news source The Examiner. Stephen Riley was charged with shooting at a crop duster that was working a field close to property he owns near the North Texas town of Olney, about 30 miles south of Wichita Falls, Texas. Riley ran a hunting operation on the property called Riley's Flying Lead Ranch, where he also maintains a residence. The investigation reportedly took several years, with authorities developing evidence against Riley over that time. When they served a search warrant at his ranch, they obtained a video of Riley firing about 20 rounds at an aircraft spraying a nearby field in 2007. He admitted in court that it was not the only time he had fired a gun at an airplane. The airplane in the 2008 incident, for which he pleaded guilty, was hit several times. One round nearly severed a rudder cable, and another struck the V-strut of the airplane. The trailing edge of the left wing was also damaged. Riley pleaded guilty to destruction of an aircraft. He also has been ordered to pay restitution for the damages to the airplane, in addition to the 10-year prison sentence. A new NIMBY, or Not In My Backyard, feud is brewing in Cape Canaveral, Florida, over the possible expansion of a helicopter tour operation. Air tour operator Florida Biplanes and Helicopters thinks it would be able to attract passengers going to and from cruises at Port Canaveral to take an aerial tour of the area. To do so, FBNH founder Mark Granger is seeking permission to operate from a helipad in a nearby commercial district, but some of the neighboring businesses, such as Florida Beer Company, says his R-44 Hilo is too loud. The R-44 registered 98.4 decibels on a decibel meter at the AJT Professional Complex next door to the proposed helipad. That's about the same as a power mower, according to the Industrial Noise Control Incorporated. A lawyer hired by the owners of the complex, though, said that people would not be able to work in the building with the helicopter operations going on every 10 minutes. It's too loud, said attorney Kimberly Razunka, after listening to the takeoffs and landings while standing in the AJT parking lot. Now, mind you, we have a hard time believing that business would be so good as to have a helicopter operating every 10 minutes, but why let the facts get in the way of some legal hyperbole? Still, Mayor Rocky Randalls said that the Robinson R-44 was, quote, less noisy than our police helicopters, but I'm not sure I would like to live next door to it, end quote. The proposed zoning change may be debated by the Cape Canaveral Planning and Zoning Board next month. They will make a recommendation to the City Council for a final decision. Online fundraising efforts called crowdfunding are all the rage these days, with entrepreneurs using the campaigns to raise money to establish businesses and get other projects off the ground. Just such an effort is underway in San Francisco now to get the Blue Angels back off the ground and to restore the city's Fleet Week air show. Created by Mark McCabe, who works for Airbnb, a San Francisco-based company, the campaign was established on the crowdfunding site CrowdTilt, and has a goal of $800,000, according to television station KTUV. According to the campaign's description, The cancellation of the show, thanks to the sequester, was a, quote, huge bummer for millions of people, end quote, adding that the show, again quoting, brings the entire city together, end quote. San Francisco's Fleet Week had been scheduled for October 10th through the 14th. Right now, McCabe and others are simply bummed about the loss of the blues. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.